I'm Hannah Levine. This is the Homestretch live from Historic Hotel Congress. It is straight up 4 o'clock on this lovely Monday, which means it is time for our classic pick of the week. However, our usual guest, Chris Carey, is off. It is my delight to welcome Seth to the show. He's filling in to talk to us about the legendary Captain Beefheart. Welcome to the show, Seth.
I am here to talk about the classic pick for this week. It's the debut full-length release from Captain Beefheart and his Magic Band from June of 1967. Should make it a record just about 52 years old this
month.
Holy
shimoly, that is classic.
Indeed, yes. From 1967, Captain Beefheart and his Magic Band, Safe as Milk, originally released on the Buddha Records label, a contemporary of sorts to the Jimi Hendrix Experience record that was featured few weeks ago here on the classic pick, came out the same time as Are You Experienced, and there's a few little parallels between these two records, so this is a nice time to include this as well on the classic pick.
So tell us a little bit about the background of the record and why. I know, you know, Captain Beefheart is someone who I know is hugely influential, but as far as the specifics about this record, how it was recorded, how it evolved, I'm really curious to learn what you have to share about that.
Sure. Well, yes, as I said, the record was released in June of 67 on Buddha Records. It was actually the first full-length release on the Buddha Records label. And the label was a subsidiary of Kama Sutra Records, a label really more known for putting out records by Love and Spoonful. And Buddha had a lot of hit singles with really bubblegum pop stuff like The Ohio Express, Yummy, 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 I Got Love in My Tummy,
wow.
Stuff like that. But
departure time, I guess.
Yeah, but as the label, Buddha was founded by then head of Kama Sutra Records, Bob Krasnow, who co-produced Safe as Milk. And he really liked what he had heard from Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band when they released some singles for A&M Records in 1966 that didn't chart, but they got his attention. They were more straightforward R&B tunes, and one was a cover of Bo Diddley's Diddy Wah Diddy. And really liked the tunes, and thought that the band could be bigger than the Beatles and the Stones, as they are always
lofty
trying to
ambitions.
Find the next big thing in those days. And so he signed them to his new label, Buddha, and they recorded the record in Hollywood at Sunset Sound Studios and RCA Studios in the spring of 1967. Lineup at that time was Don Van Vliet, a.k.a. Captain Beefheart, is sort of the head of the whole thing and lead author of most of the songs on the record. Most of the rest of the band had played on those singles as well. Alex St. Clair Snoofer on guitar, Jerry Hanley on bass, and John French, a.k.a. Drumbo, on drums and percussion. When the band went into the studio to record Safe as Milk, one of the engineers who had worked with the band before in the A&M days, Gary Marker, had just come off of playing a band called Rising Suns with Taj Mahal and Ry Cooder. And Ry Cooder was brought...
I see where this is going. Interesting.
Marker convinced Ry Cooder to join the band, convinced him he could sort of take over the band and become a leader of the group. And so he was brought in to play slide guitar and really provide a lot of the musical direction and arrangement for the album, which keeps it much more rooted in kind of classic Delta blues than most any subsequent Captain Beefheart records, which tended to be a lot more experimental and aleatoric and little less rooted in the blues tradition. But Ry Cooder's involvement definitely kept this record a little more accessible than most anything else that Captain Beefheart put together.
Ry Cooder has led an interesting life. I feel like I'm always learning something new about him.
This is the only album that Ry Cooder was a member of the Magic Band. He kind of infamously quit the group later in 1967 after the band was asked to perform at Monterey Pop Festival. Just a few weeks after Safe as Milk was released, they played some warm-up gigs at another festival in Northern California, the Magic Mountain Fantasy Fair Festival, the week prior. In a kind of notorious story, Captain Beefheart had a non-stage panic attack that was probably at least partially fueled by bad street acid, and fell off of the stage moments into the band's very first song and landed on top of the tour manager. And the band continued.
That's one way to start a show.
Yeah. The band continued the rest of the set instrumentally and Cooter walked off stage and said he couldn't work with somebody that's unpredictable, and quit the group, and the band backed out of Monterey Pop, and the rest is sort of non-history.
Yeah. History by absence. Mm-hmm. Anything else to add about sort of like the lasting influence?
Well, the record didn't, it was one of those albums that didn't chart at the time of its release, didn't sell particularly well, but it was championed, at least overseas in the UK, by DJ John Peel, who absolutely loved the record.
One of my heroes.
Featured it very frequently on his radio shows, so it kind of propelled the notoriety of the band in those sort of cool music journalist, foreign press circles. Allegedly, even John Lennon had a copy of the bumper sticker that came with the initial pressings of Safe as Milk on his refrigerator, as seen
wow.
in some photos
well,
in his
from
New York apartment.
From John Lennon to Kurt Cobain, even like a whole range of people cite Captain Beefheart as an influence on their writing.
Yeah, Jack White, I know, has said many times, and White Stripes have covered some Captain Beefheart material, and Tom Waits has credited Captain Beefheart's vocal styling with inspiring him to reimagine his sound and vocal style around Swordfish Trombones era. Certainly an influence far outstripping the sales of the album when it came out.
Well, so much to be grateful there for that record. I'm talking with Seth Mosey about the classic pick of the week. Anything else to add, Seth, before we get into your first selection here?
Sure, yes. The track we're going to hear today is the song that closed out side one in the original LP, a song called Electricity. It's one of two tracks on the record that features a theremin lead performed by Dr. Samuel J. Hoffman, who is a pioneer of electronic music, particularly in soundtracks, and it's the theremin performer that you hear on a lot of those classic old movies.
Oh, yeah.
Lost in Space and things like that, Day the Earth Stood Still.
Very distinct and eerie ethereal sound. Thanks so much, Seth.
Oh, thanks for having me.